Everybody wake up!
Time to wake up! Time to start the day! Wake up late with Dougie here! He's the only
one! Wake up late!
Now everybody!
Wake up late!
Everybody!
Wake up late!
Wake up!
It's late! Wake up!
Wake up late with Dougie! Wake up late with Dougie! Wake up late with Dougie!
It's time to wake up!
Wake up late with Dougie! What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, live from Danger Studios. Coral's praising, now you know.
We're the hottest show in this
place.
Wake
up late,
now everybody.
Wake up late,
now everybody.
Wake up late,
now everybody.
I said 1, 2, 3, everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida, it's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, starring Dougie Almeida. Now, let's start the show.
Woo! Yeah. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and it's Wednesday afternoon here in South Florida at Danger Studios. I'm joined in the studio with two comedians who will be on tonight's Wise Guys comedy show. First, our headliner for evening, my good friend Mike Vecchione.
Yes, thank you for having me, Dougie.
Welcome
to the
back.
Underground lair that you have us in. In the Bat Cave.
And Adam Murray.
What's up, everybody?
Thanks for going and picking up.
Yeah, that's what I do. I mean, that's
Adam gave me a ride here. He did a great job driving. Yeah.
He's a professional taxi cab driver.
I was for 9 years.
Wow.
Yeah. We had a story yesterday on the show about this guy. It went viral. I guess it happened in New York in the Bronx.
Viral.
This chick stole the tips from an Uber driver.
Mm-hmm.
They showed a photo of her. She was pretty hot. She was.
What do you mean stole the tip?
The guy actually
it's all electronic, right?
No, but this guy had a little tip jar in the middle of his console.
Oh, and she just grabbed his cup?
Yeah. I wish somebody grabbed my cup.
Nice.
Yeah, and but they found her.
How many stars did she get? How many stars did everybody rate each other, right?
Exactly. You use Uber much when you're in the city or what?
Sometimes. I'll use it to go home at late at night, but it depends on the. If it's more than the price of a cab, I won't use it. But if
is it more than the price of a cab?
It depends what time.
Is it the surge pricing?
It spikes at times. Yeah.
Yeah, the surge pricing can dramatically change it.
Well, because when I was there a few weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
I mean, there were certain shows. I was like, I was training. I was getting on the subway. I was proud of myself.
Yeah.
And I was, but there were some shows you just couldn't. You know, and there was moments there I got tired of sweating. You know,
yeah,
you got,
I mean, once you know the subway really well, I mean, it just takes a while, but once you know it really well, I just use the subway.
Yeah, and it's just amazing. But I hate when you got to, I was like, you know, it was cool when I was there, but when you go down to the subway and you're in a rush and you're, you know, I'm thinking about stuff, I just can't help sweat, but sweating, you know, and then you're like, then you can't, I'm the kind of guy, I just can't stop, you know, once I start sweating, then I think about sweating, and I can't stop sweating.
The smell of urine should calm you down.
Yeah. It usually makes it worse.
It warms your heart.
Hey, we're comics here. What do you expect?
I just use your iPhone tells you like the subway routes and everything.
Yeah, that's what you do. You press the transit thing.
Yeah.
But
it's called transgender.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Press
the transgender button.
Non-binary transportation.
You know that in some, what's up, Chris Johnson? The rhino. What's he? The white rhino?
I have no idea.
He's a comic out of Jersey.
Oh, Chris.
Yeah.
Is that Chris? My friend Chris?
Yeah.
Nice.
And Peter Kramer. Peter Kramer says hi.
Yeah, Peter's one of our main fans.
What's up, Peter?
I haven't seen Chris. Matter of fact, the first time I met Chris was at a Bonkers in Ocala. We worked together years
ago.
That's
a surprisingly really fun room.
Yeah.
Like, it's a giant, it's a barn. But it's like a cafeteria.
Right.
And they've changed it a few different times, but now it's like this big cafeteria where they breed horses. They obviously don't breed them in the cafeteria.
I was going to say, while the show's going on, it might be a little distracting.
Right. But like the entire town comes out. So there's like every show, there's 200 or 300 people that just, because there's nothing else to do in Ocala.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
It's not a lot of other things you can do in Ocala.
There's literally nothing else to do in Ocala unless you're breeding horses.
I mean, some horses are pretty good looking. I wouldn't mind breeding with them.
How's the after party though? At the day party?
Well,
they all go home.
they typically go home. There's typically always a bunch of people who are like, hey, you want to smoke weed in the parking lot?
And that's fun.
But, I mean, aside from that, the last time I was
there. Fort Pierce is a big, the Fort Pierce show is a great, they're great people. They really are great people, but they really bounce. You're there by yourself 10 minutes after the show.
The last time I was in Ocala a couple of weeks ago, there were these smoking hot bartenders from Vegas.
Yes.
Yeah. That were like, you should go with us to this bar on the corner. But I was like, do you know Sean Finnerty?
Yeah.
I was giving Sean a ride back to Orlando, and I was like, oh.
Fuck Sean. Man. They Ubered him.
I mean, I don't know. If I was more of a dick, I'd be like, you need to get your own fucking ride home and go see what these bartenders. But I'm just not that much of an asshole.
Well, couldn't he wing it up?
I mean...
You would think.
He was trying to make it to another show.
Oh.
So I was trying to get him to this other show.
But, well, you're the taxi guy. You're like the reliable driver.
I'm like a dog. I'm old, reliable. Mm. I'll stick by friends.
You can't be much of a dog. You got hot chicks asking you to go hang out after.
Dude, she was so... Her and her friend were so fucking hot.
When I was in Gainesville last week on Wednesday, these two young girls, they were both very attractive, and they came up, and they were like... I took a photo of them on Instagram and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they were like, oh, you know, you don't look your age and this and that. I'm like, ah, you know, that's nice. I told them I was 64, but... but they were like sitting, and there was like one of those, you know, I mean, I haven't dated, I've been married so long, but you know when like things are lingering, you're like, I can make a move here. Like, I could have said, you know, hey, you want to go get a drink or something? But I'm a good guy. You know, I'm a good husband.
Yeah, everything's up in the air, though. These girls out there, they're asking for it these days.
It's amazing to me.
They're fucking all asking for it. As sure as I sit here.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I didn't know my true potential prior to stand-up, but I feel like my level goes up dramatically after they see me on stage.
Yeah. I mean, that's all of us, I think. Your powers are very heightened during and after the show, but after you leave and go to another bar, your powers are diminished.
You're like,
so it's good to stay in the bar where you are.
It's like when a stripper walks off stage and you see her in like in the middle of Publix, she would just like be an everyday chick.
I don't know. I still feel like if she's a good stripper, she'd still be really fucking hot walking through Publix.
No, they don't. They don't. They tell. It's like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Hmm.
There's like something about the lighting and you know the shoes.
when the light actually comes on, you can see the imperfection and the scars,
the holes in the face.
Wow. But what Publix do you go to? I'm sorry. I'm here to ask the tough questions.
Have you ever been to? You ever do the Zone Room in Johnson, Tennessee?
Yeah.
Did you go to the Fuzzy Hole?
I don't think so. I think I'd remember.
All the locals there were like, you got to go to the Fuzzy Hole. And I'm like, what's the Fuzzy Hole? It is the embodiment of every bad
stand-up
comic joke about a strip club.
Oh, really?
Like, there was a drugged-out stripper passed out in the corner who just woke up to do her set. I saw a stripper take a guy out of a wheelchair and put him into a chair
to give
it a lap dance and then moved him back in.
Wow.
The host went with me and they had like a menu of dances that he was asking about because one of them was called like the King Dance, which they didn't really describe what that was. But he asked
about... I'm sure it has a crown or something involved.
He asked about... they had... Apparently it's like a drug operation also because guys were going into the back room with girls. The girls would come back out and the guys wouldn't. So like I guess they're leaving out the back. But... They had
Dawn thing. They're just vampires.
They had
Sweeney Todd type situation.
He was asking
murdered
about
and thrown down a chute.
Maybe. I mean, it's Johnson City, Tennessee. There's nothing there.
I don't know if they closed that room. I think
they might have. They were talking about closing it down when I was there.
The last time I was there with Frank Del Pizzo after the Asheville Comedy Festival.
Okay, mm-hmm.
So I was there at Asheville for like two or three nights, and then I drove there. I thought, hey, I hooked this up. I'm a good organizer, and I get there.
It's a beautiful hotel.
It's a great place. No show. Nobody showed up for the first show. And then the second night, shows. No shows all weekend.
When I was there, like they canceled, I think, one show of the three. And then one show had like next to no one in it. And then one was packed.
Yeah.
But it was I think it was the packed show that they're like, you should go to the Fuzzy Hole with us. Mm. And the host was like, you should go. And he was asked about the shower dance. He's like, what is the shower dance? Like, oh, we got a shower in the back. He danced with the girl. And he's like, do I do it in my clothes? Like, no, we give you a bathing suit. And he's like,
oh, that's good.
Like, wow. He's like, is this like a commemorative thing yeah. that I
no, like, get to take home.
No, no, we keep it.
Yeah,
like, oh, that's gross.
That's what you want. You want to wear somebody's yeah. bathing suit?
Yeah,
what,
like
yeah. What is it? Was it like? Oh. Was it like a banana hammock? What you know?
Wait, I didn't. Does yeah. it? Does it matter?
Or was it one like, of those like 1930s swimsuits like, where they look like pajamas, like long? Yeah.
That's like. Is that the way you want to get insert any disease here that's, from some yeah. trucker who?
It's the way I want to get syphilis.
Exactly, or herpes, or whatever.
Did you have sex with a strange woman? No, I put on a strange bathing suit.
I like syphilis because it's like a 20s disease.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a throwback disease.
Could you die from syphilis?
Al Capone did.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah, Al Capone died from syphilis. He was the number one.
What about, I was going to say Abraham Lincoln didn't die from syphilis, but
you can die from gonorrhea now. Like, it's morphed into, because so many people would get it, and I guess you get a shot for it or something, or they just give you whatever.
What are you looking at me for? I've never had it.
I don't know.
Gonorrhea.
But it spawned like a super version of gonorrhea that like kills people.
Like a super bug.
Because it became immune to all the various different antidotes. I don't know if antidote's the right word for...
Antidote's something you use in words, isn't it? Antidote?
I like the way that I like the way I'm seated here. It's like I'm kind of like ignoring you actively, Dougie. The way you have me seated here, it's like I'm kind of actively like, yeah, I'll get to you, dude, in a second.
But stop following me around.
Right now, I need to go to traffic and transit on the ones. Let's go to traffic.
Exactly.
So are you guys going to keep bragging about your work? I was in Johnson City. Like, I'm like, who books that in my head, you know? But I don't want to ask it
because
I sound desperate.
That's talking about performing in a barn and in the middle of Johnson City, Tennessee is bragging.
It is. Just the word Johnson City gets you excited.
Yeah, it really does.
There was, I remember there's a Hooters. There was a Hooters around the corner from there.
Now you're living.
Now I went there. You know, the town's pretty bad when like you wouldn't bang 4 out of the 5 Hooters chicks.
No.
You know what I mean? That's a bad sign.
When
you go there and you're like, I don't know if I want to go to the strip club if the Hooters looks like
dude,
this.
Dude, I did Iowa. I went to Iowa and performed did my very first Funny Bone there. And we went to the mall and we're walking around and I noticed not only did no hot chicks come to the show.
Right.
There might have been one.
You're in Iowa, dude. There's no hot chicks in
there
Iowa.
There were none. Like, I was like,
that's why they all bang the sheep up there.
It was insane. There were literally none.
You know, I was in...
They're not beautiful. They're sturdy. There's different adjectives for the women out there. They're sturdy, reliable.
Yeah.
Kind of like, it's kind of like a Ford commercial.
Yeah. I was going to say, it sounds like you're describing a truck.
4 out of 5 men will go back to a reliable woman in Iowa. And I posted something. You talk about, you know, posting things and people. I was in Cedar Rapids.
Okay.
Iowa.
You did
Penguins.
I did that room.
Yeah, and
I was thinking of Michigan.
No, Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Yeah, I was just in Funny Stop, but there's a Cedar Rapids in Iowa, and I was hanging out with other comic. It was a Jeff Bodart comic,
Doctor Grins,
and we're sitting there, and there was this woman. She looked like a female Shrek. She was a big woman.
Wow.
I mean, I wouldn't have taken her on in a wrestling match. She was a big woman.
Wow.
Her choice of clothing was a bit crazy. She had like these weird shorts and she had a backpack on. She was a big woman, dude. And, you know, I just got off the phone with my wife and, you know, she goes, everything all right? You know, because I've been away for a while. And I said, no, honey, I'm fine. Trust me. You know, nothing's happening. Meaning, you know, it's not like there's any competition here. And I posted a photo. I just took a photo of this woman. I sent it to my wife joking, like, here's your competition. And I did like a meme. I'm like, hey, it's easy to be faithful to your wife when you're in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. I took a photo of this woman.
Oh, wow.
I didn't show her face. I didn't shame her. I just took a photo of the back. And another fellow comic, who I won't mention, on Facebook goes, scumbag post.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
Like, you can't make fun of anyone anymore?
Well,
every joke has someone be the butt of it.
Well, the problem is that this particular comic has had a fucking hard-on for me. You know, ever since I can remember, you know, it's like every time I try to do something, he's like always trying to tell me, well, you know, you should do this or not do that. Go fuck yourself. I'll do whatever I want.
I mean, some people are just so fucking sensitive.
So did you block him or fight him?
No, I didn't block him.
Right.
Because I don't mind it. You know what I mean? I don't mind when I expect somebody to be a douche and they're a douche. Mm-hmm. That's understandable.
Right.
I get mad when you don't expect somebody to be a douchebag and then they turn into a douchebag.
Yeah, that bothers me. Like, right? When you think someone's... Yeah. Like,
you're cool, you have a good relationship with somebody and they do something fucked up.
You could be, you know, friends for years and then all of a sudden that side of them you never see comes out and it's like, fuck this person.
Now you guys you know, you're in a tight knit group. You're in New York, you're in the Mecca of comedy.
Mecca. We are in the Mecca.
I like the way you say it, like, oh God, I still do this.
No, it's a great place, man. You know, you've been up there. It's unbelievable place to work and to be based out of.
I've only done stand up up there once. I did an open mic when I was like a year in, and it was
mics up there are brutal. But yeah. Guys come and move from these other cities, and they're like, "Yeah, I'm gonna do it with all this enthusiasm," and then they hit the open mics, and they're like, "This is the worst thing ever." And it's like, "Yeah, dude, that's why it's a tough city. It's a climb. Yeah. You have to climb into the get the claw into the clubs, and then you know
people are still barking. Is that still a thing you got to do? Barking?
I don't know. I in the village, I see some people do it, but I think most of the clubs have street teams.
Yeah, they got
most
their own
of them
look, yeah.
do, but I don't know the breakdown of that, to be honest.
I'm certain you're well beyond that.
I'm well beyond it now, but now it's a different fight. Now it's a fight to get.
Is it? And we talked about this in the past. Like, yeah. It seems like it's a never ending. I had another comic tell me that there's no end game in this fucking game. It's like, you know, it's like I'm at the stage now where I'm breaking from feature to headliner.
Yeah,
and you know. And it's like, it's okay, some clubs I'm working and some are still waiting. Like,
sure. Yeah.
You know, like for Funny Business, I won't headline Dr. Grins. That's their A room.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm headlining almost every other room now.
Right.
And Comedy Zone finally co-headlined me last week. And that was because something happened.
Yeah.
But, and then when you become a headliner, and you're like, great, I'm going to be a headliner. Then it really sucks because now you're competing with more people, more talented people, I even would assume, and it's harder to get work. You know, and like you and I talked in the past about how
it's not so much getting work, it's just that at what money you're working at and how easily the work comes and the A rooms versus B rooms. And then there's the end game. It's like, I mean, I don't want to just be on the road to be on the road, to be honest with you. It's like I want to turn out material. I want to get it on TV and then I want to tour off of it. Like, I mean, I think most people do that, want that. So that's kind of the goal. And, I also would like to write a show and all these things. So just to be on the road to be on the road. I mean, I need money, so I'm going to be on the road in any capacity in order to make money. But it's not very rewarding for me anyway, just to be on the road, just to make that little bit of money. The end game is not that for me, you know, but everybody's different. People just like party. I mean, it really helps if you're an alcoholic or you have a drug problem.
Yeah,
it really does, because you just enjoy yourself much more, and you don't start thinking about these end game type things that the rest of us are thinking
about.
What
happens when you're 50 kind of
you're
thing.
Just partying and having fun, so there's a certain freedom
in
that.
I'm fucking 50 now, listen. Well, you know, it's funny about it because, all right, because,
but you're not living on someone's couch for a significant portion of the
year. Now, again, here's where I'm at. I wanted to tour around A to get experience, to build, you know, build my act and build my, you know, build my stage, or just get better. To me, it was like, you're right now, it's like, I'm going to be going away on November 30th, and I'm going to be gone till December 17th.
Okay.
And I'm like, part of me is like, like 2 years ago, I was like, this is going to be great. Now I'm kind of like, fuck, man, I got so much shit I got to get organized before I leave. But you know, like you mentioned that the big thing is new material,
right?
Turn it out, putting out and going over again. Like Jim Florentine, you know, he talked to me about that. It's like, you know, you just got to do it. Because I remember I was working with somebody and the chick did a joke that he does.
Right.
And it was like, I said, dude, I caught, he goes, yeah, that's okay. I did that like two specials ago. So he didn't give a fuck. You know, it's like, it's if somebody else is doing it now, he doesn't ever give a shit.
Yeah, he's already put it down on TV.
You know
so
what I mean?
It doesn't matter, yeah.
But I'm thinking about it like...
Doesn't matter to him, yeah.
No, right. So now I'm in my 10th year, and if I look at my set now versus, let's say 5 years ago, it's about 40%. There's some core jokes, but it's mostly, you know, it's like...
Yeah,
it's
turned it over.
I don't know if that's the thing. It's not. It's like polishing up, this, you know what I mean? It's getting better and better.
Right.
As opposed to completely different.
I'd hate to make it sound like that sort of... behavior is okay for a comic, like whoever that is. If it's parallel thinking, that's one thing. But if they're just straight up ripping a joke,
but it makes them look bad. It makes that comic look bad. Like Florentine's kind of at peace with it because he's like,
I
already have it put down, so it's already documented. You're doing it like it's like it makes you look really bad. But if like that comic has friends, those comics should go to her or him or whoever it is and be like, hey, that's somebody else's joke, and then that comic in turn should be appreciative.
Yes.
Of that, because it's like, oh, you saved me from looking like an ass. You know?
Yeah.
You know, so that's what it is.
But
there's a difference between being good, taking steps to get better at comedy, and then getting famous.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, also, there's a bigger name that was talking to me about fame, and he said that there's no end game to it.
What do you mean, bigger than him, me, you? Who?
Yeah. You want me to say the name?
Well, this is a fucking podcast. It's not like we're on CNBC News.
It was Harlan Williams, and he was saying that you never, there's no end to fame, there's no end game, and no one ever, there's only like five people that keep it at its peak, which is like, who's the fucking Brad guy with the abs all the chicks love?
From Brad
Fight
Pitt?
Club? Yeah, Brad Pitt is one of them, and his wife.
I thought you could say Brad Garrett.
Brad Garrett's working out now?
Well, no, but
like
he's saying, like,
Raymond.
He's saying, like, even Arnold Schwarzenegger now is not a huge name anymore.
No.
Like, he doesn't have the pull he used to.
Well, that's an interesting point. But, like, in other words, like, here you are. You've been on Colbert. You've been on Conan. You got the TV spots.
Right.
You got all that stuff.
Yeah,
and like, you know, it's like, but like you said, sometimes people get up to that level
and then
there's, where do you go from there? It's like Pandora's box.
You're constantly bouncing a ball. It's like hacky sack. You got to keep it elevated.
Like, you never know what's going to break you. Like, something, this could break you doing this every week, which is good consistency. Like, you never know what's going to, because we have nothing to do with stand up.
Right.
That could break you. You could shoot a YouTube video and it could break you. Like, we never know now.
Just like the dude from Impractical Jokers, Sal.
Yeah.
It wasn't stand up that broke him, it was the TV show.
Yeah. I think somebody was telling me that, I'm not sure how true this is, so don't trust this, but I think they pitched like two other shows that sounded better that didn't get picked up, and then they pitched this one and it just like hit. And it like, and it's like on fire. Like, the people are just rabid fans.
If you turn on, what is it, True TV?
Yeah.
It's on like 24 hours a day.
That's their flagship show, man.
I remember when it was like only on at like late night. Like, they're just like, fucking throw it on at 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
Excuse me, maybe someone will watch it. And now it's like, it's the only thing they show, basically.
It's unbelievable.
But it's true. That's, you know, like I make a little money with this show. Mm-hmm. You know, we got some people that donate. We have a Patreon page, by the way. If you go to wakeuplatewithdougieshow.podbean.com, you could donate $1 a month. And if everybody who watches the show did it, I'd be able to give gas money to all the comics and guests that come into the studio.
Paywall.
Yeah.
And so
there's not enough for us to have gas money?
You guys don't get shit. You're guests. You're not co-hosts.
Damn it.
But you're right, because one of my mentors said that to me. He says, look, just keep doing what you're doing, because you never know. You know, next thing you know, someone says, hey, we want you to be the replacement for Howard Stern, or, you know, whatever. And you're like, how far-fetched is that? But you're always just that one, especially being in New York.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, you're in the right mix, and you never know how it's going to play out. You always want to be right, and you always want to be working, and but you can't control how the planets are going to align. So you just kind of have to be ready, you know?
The workaholic guys were making YouTube videos, and someone saw them and was like, someone from Comedy Central, I think it was, saw the videos and were like, these guys are funny. It was like an intern or something that knew who these guys were.
That's a big thing, though, the viral videos. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yours was hilarious with John Fish, the MMA.
Yeah.
The fucking dance instructor.
We did that for our contest.
It's like internet. Yeah. There's no connection between you and your
I
it's like a contest. We did that for like a three minute thing for a contest.
Yeah.
And, you know, who knows? I got a lot of hits, you know. So
did you win the contest?
I don't know. It's still up in the air. We're still waiting to see it. But
what
like,
contest?
Ben Rosenfeld, like, is my friend, and we worked together up there, and he, like, shot it and directed it.
Ben's the guy
wrote it.
He also
wrote it with me. We wrote it together. So yeah.
Ben's the guy who they thought was you with long hair.
Oh right. Yeah. Oh, the guy said he's
your doppelganger.
He's a couple long hair and bad decisions away from being me.
Yeah, I saw that.
He's great. He's also a big computer guy. So
that's important. You know, it's like I got this new app on my phone now to do like flyers. You know, like, you know, to like, because you want things to look good. Like, if you're gonna try to impress somebody. You know, like I did the thing for this pot for the live video. Like I spent like 40 minutes of my day today
to,
you know,
do Facebook Live.
Wow. No, but when I did the advertisement on our fan page, you know, I had like, you know, like, you know, cool and like different colors and shit. And I got your guys' photos in there. You know what I mean? It grabs the attention.
Yeah,
I mean,
it matters.
Geez, we got like five people on Facebook Live right now.
Dude,
so
if those five people,
if they told a friend.
Yeah, then I'm like this close to hitting 400 people on my YouTube. I need like 15 or 20 more. So
I neglect
people.
That. That's the thing. I like on YouTube, I would just put my my stand-up comedy stuff, right? I hide the ones that are older or whatever.
Yeah.
But now you got to do, like, we had one for our radio show, our podcast, and we had, like, the challenge, like, people, like, the co-host would challenge me to stuff, like, who could throw it further?
Mm-hmm.
So Peter Leonard, who used to play baseball in college, challenged me to throw on a tennis ball, and okay. I threw it further than him.
Wow.
And then Minda Moe, who used to be on the show, she's a young lady. She used to be in track. She says, you can't run. You're not fast. I'm like, I'll beat you in a fucking sprint.
Wow.
And then she took me on in a 50-yard dash. I beat her.
Okay.
Wow. We videoed that. That was kind
of
funny.
Yeah. I like the idea of putting out stuff that's not just stand-up.
Right.
To show another – like, I started putting out travel vlogs because I'm going all over the place. You know, I figured you could show different parts of the country or just – what life is like as a comic, you know, flying to different cities. And,
well, like you said, you never know what's going to hit. I mean, that's a thing, you know.
Well, I mean, people seem to like it. Like I said, I went from having like 30 people on YouTube to now I have almost 400.
Yeah, stop bragging, fucker. I got like 35 myself.
Yeah.
You got a YouTube page, Mike?
Yeah, but I don't. I think it's better just to. I have stuff on YouTube, but I think it's better just to post to Facebook. I don't know. It seems like I get more.
Yeah.
A reaction.
Now, we can't. Now, I on this, we never reach it. We get like 20 some people watching at a time sometimes. But then all we right. get like, by the time it runs for a week or so, we get like 400 or 500 views. But you got to get like, you got to get Vic DiBeto watcher. Like, you got to get like 5,000 or something people before you start getting. Don't you get paid? You get paid on Facebook Live? Did they pay you? I don't think so.
I don't think there's
advertising or anything like that.
I don't know how that works. I think on YouTube, I make something like 15 cents a month. And you have to make over $100 before they'll send you a check.
Yeah.
But it's not about that. To me, I just figure it's just slowly snowballing that thing. Like, it doesn't matter until you get, like, you know, 100,000 people following you.
Yeah.
Right.
But it snowballs. It's just like anything else. It just slowly builds.
Little by little.
So I've got, like, a bunch of videos of, like, I put up, I think my favorite vlog I put up was doing my first theater with Felipe. Or some of the videos from Mexico.
For those you don't know, Adam opens up for Felipe Esparza.
Nice. Felipe is a good guy. Man.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
Esparza. He's a really good dude.
I met him at the Laughlin Laugh Fest.
He has been so fucking nice to me.
I met him last Comic Standing. He's a great guy.
Yeah. Now, are you his feature or he has a couple people with him?
He's got a couple different people that he rotates.
Right.
And I'll either feature for him or host for him.
Yeah, that's pretty.
And if he takes me far away, I've also done two-man shows with him. So typically he'll have me feature for him, but sometimes he'll have me host. And I feel like, I don't know, I felt like at one point it was like, I don't know if like sometimes if he's testing me to see like he had me feature for a while and then he's like, hey, we're going to have you on this show. And then I don't find out till later that I'm hosting. And I think he does that to see if I'm gonna be like, what the fuck? You know, to see if I'm an asshole.
That or you just sucked the last show and he didn't want to fucking tell you.
Could be that too. You know,
I mean, but that happens a lot. I think, I think that happens a lot. Like, I think I had a club do that one time, you know what I mean? I was recently at a club, and they asked somebody wanted to propose.
Mm. Oh, you know, dude, I've seen that a few times. It's like, how the fuck, you can't follow that.
Well, that's the thing. So they said, we want you to do it because they want the headliner to handle it, you know,
as
opposed to the MC. I'm like, well, fuck, I don't want to do this. But then I was sitting at the bar thinking, you know what? This is probably them seeing how... Like you're saying, like maybe they're just seeing if I'm a game, I'm a team player kind of thing.
I think that the only way to pull that off is either to do it at the very beginning of your set.
Yeah, I did it at the end.
Or the very end.
Yeah, I did it at the end. I got at the end. I said, before I go, I got one last thing. It's somebody's birthday today or something like that. I have a, you know, and I brought her up and I said, you know, your boyfriend wanted me to do a strip for you. You know, he asked for a Chippendale, but he got Fudgy the Whale. And then, you know, I had her sit down on the stool like I was going to strip for her. And then I brought him up. We're going to do like a three-on-one, like a threesome.
And
when he came up, I said, here, weren't you going to sing her a song? Here, I'm going to take my shirt off. And he got on his knee and asked her to marry her.
Nice.
That's
a good thing at the end of the show.
Yeah.
If anybody suggests doing it any other time, it's like, no.
It's not. It's the worst.
You can't do it at the
It's going to, yeah.
Because now it's like, they're going to be so, they're not even going to enjoy this. Like, no one's going to.
No one's going to pay.
Everybody's going to be like saying, hey, congratulations.
I want to say it was Guy Tori I saw that had to do that. And he did it. He was probably planning to do another 10 or 15 minutes, and he was just like, I can't follow this.
Yeah,
it's over.
Well, we're going to take a break here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. When we come back, we'll have Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from around the world and make fun of them. Right after this.
Hey, this is Bob Gullo with the Wake Up Dougie show. It's time to wake up and bake.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
And now, for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's Straight from the Headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Welcome back to the show. It's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we make fun of things from around the world. Well, we read news from... fuck it, whatever. It's Straight from the Headlines. I'm all disheveled. I didn't get my nap today. I'm a big nap guy now.
Nice.
You know,
dude, naps are the best.
Yeah, I gotta take like an hour nap during the day.
I gotta say, though, the more you do it, the more you need it.
Yeah, it's addictive.
Yeah.
Just like black tar heroin.
Yeah, just the same. Canadian restaurant run by HIV-positive staff aims to smash stigma. Would you go to an HIV-positive all-staff restaurant?
Yes, but I wouldn't order the specials at all.
I wouldn't want anything with red gravy.
I mean, can you get AIDS from food?
Well, no, if somebody cuts their
and then it goes into your cut. I mean, it's so small. If they
cook it, you know, that's got to kill it, right?
A group of Canadian gourmets is hoping to smash misconceptions about HIV transmission one plate at a time by opening a pop-up restaurant run entirely by a staff infected with the virus.
Wow. Isn't that discriminatory hiring practices?
Yeah, you won't hire me because I don't have AIDS?
Yeah.
If I want to get a job, I got to fuck a heroin addict that uses dirty needles. Oof.
Yeah.
You know, Florida has some of the highest, like Miami, Orlando. There's a couple of them. A couple of those cities are like some of the highest population of HIV and infected
people. I never would have guessed. Actually, I would have.
Located in Toronto, the restaurant called June's on Tuesday was serving its first meals prepared by HIV-positive cooks to dispel any notions that food preparation could be spread, can spread the virus. Wearing aprons printed with such messages as "Kiss the HIV cook," and "I got HIV from pasta," said no one ever. June's 14 HIV-positive cooks will be serving customers who prepaid to reserve their tables.
Is it no longer okay to be afraid of someone with AIDS? Like, necessarily afraid, but just cautious, like not wanting to, like, if you don't want to go eat at this
Can they just have the restaurant without advertising that?
Yeah.
Maybe that would be a good thing. It's like, you don't deny it. You're like, the whole staff has AIDS if you're asked, but instead of just like advertise, because it's got nothing to do with food, really.
No,
I would eat the food. Just don't put it in my face that everybody has AIDS. They can just have AIDS.
Yeah,
and I'll eat because I'm a fucking pig.
Regardless, I'm so hungry. I don't give a shit.
I mean, maybe it's I'm ignorant about all about AIDS, but just knowing that you can have it for what, like a decade and not know it.
Can't they do like the jar thing at the cashier? It's like your change can go here to
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, I just
it doesn't have to be in my face. It's fine. I'm accepting, but it doesn't have to be like in my face. I just want to eat. I'm here for the chicken parm.
So are you an asshole if you don't want to go eat there? Like, if I don't want to go eat there because that sounds like a risk.
Well, who's going to be the person that's going to go on Yelp and go, I was going to go eat there, but then I read the guy's.
Well, then you're an asshole if you're like, hey, no one else
should
go eat
there. People are going to be afraid to give it a bad review. They're going to be like, I get that you guys have AIDS, but that's not the issue. The chicken was dry.
Yeah.
Chicken was dry, and I support AIDS fighting AIDS, but the chicken was,
I feel like the AIDS has nothing to do with your inability to cook chicken.
Yeah, listen, I don't give a shit you guys got AIDS, but do you mind putting a little salt in the fucking sauce?
Can we get a better chef with AIDS? That's what I'm saying.
I give it 4 T cells.
Oh my god. Yeah, I mean, what's next? What's the next? We're going to open a restaurant with everybody that has zits on their face.
Every McDonald's.
Well, I'd rather be served by somebody with HIV than somebody with fucking like pimples all over them,
That's every fast food restaurant right now.
I've been on a fast food binge. My wife's out of town, so I had like Arby's, Subway, Wendy's.
Did you ever work in fast food?
Never. I worked at Godfather's Pizza.
I worked at a Wendy's, and if you're on the line, you've got a giant 12 feet of fryers behind you,
right?
That are putting up a mist of oil, and then you've got a giant grill that's also putting up a giant mist of oil. Mm-hmm. It's fucking impossible to not. I had the worst acne. I mean, I was also a teenager.
Yeah.
But I felt like the moment I stopped working there.
Yeah.
Like the moment I started was the moment I started to have acne issues. And the moment I stopped, it went away.
Were you a pimple popper?
I mean, if it like gets around my nose or something,
those are the best.
Bothers me
when you get when you ever get a pimple in the crevice of your nose.
Never had one.
Are you kidding me?
Fucking hate.
Just kidding.
You,
I'm so beautiful. I've never had one.
My skin's always been perfect.
I like they say like people who like popping the air like the package, you know, the air package, like a little bubble wrap.
That's so gross.
Yeah, it's like pop. But I
guys,
but,
this is kind of gross. Can we turn this back to AIDS?
Yeah.
We slipped down that slope. But if you ever have a pimple on the inside of your nose here,
I like that you were like, can we change this? He's like, no, but listen, I want to talk about
pimples. He's got to speak his truth about pimples.
He's got to get it out.
I just want to let like that pimple. I had to squeeze it. If you ever get one there, it's glorious because it when it pops, it launches. It's like an explosion.
My friend in college had a roommate that purposefully would pop his pimples on the mirror and leave it.
Oh. Mm.
It was the nastiest thing.
Sent you a message.
He would get mad if he cleaned it. Like, he was saving it.
But isn't there, like, proactive now? Where it's, like, proactive kind of cures that, doesn't it? I've seen the commercials. I can't sleep.
You'd rather watch that than, like, whatever frying pan they're trying to sell or cooking equipment?
I like that, too.
I used to sell china and cookware when I was in college. Good gig. They used to meet a lot of nurses, you know, and a lot of chicks that want to develop their hope chest.
What the fuck is a hope chest?
It's like when a girl, it's like before she gets married, she gets her china, she gets all her crystals and stuff. So it's her hope chest. And when she gets married, she has all that shit that you can stuff in a china cabinet no one ever uses.
That feels that sounds like something from like the 1950s where like, if you want to be a good wife, you got to be a good cook. Bring your, like you're marrying the maid. Like that's you got to have the chick that knows how to clean and cook and shit.
Yeah, well, it's helpful.
Oh,
like,
I don't
like
doubt
I said
it.
My wife, I goddamn, I'm you know, well, listen, I miss her for a lot of reasons.
Don't
but
get me wrong, I'm not saying women and, you know, maybe men shouldn't know how to do those things. But it sounds it sounds like, "Hey, you got let me see your wife resume."
Yeah, let me see your hope chest after hope I see chest. Your chest. Here's a story, a man charged with DUI after going to vote a day early. Police in Pennsylvania say they've arrested a man who showed up to an elementary school intoxicated and hoping to vote on the wrong day. What are all these fucking kids doing here? Authorities charged 34-year-old Douglas Shuttlesworth with DUI after they found him at a school in Harrisburg on Monday. Police say Shuttlesworth appeared intoxicated, and the letter found out he drove to the school thinking it was election day.
Dude, I remember reading a story about a guy that got arrested for DUI, and he went to post bail the next morning, and the guy that came to pick him up was also drunk, so they arrested him too.
Oh my God.
Like, they were so drunk, they were still drunk the next morning.
Mm. I had the same thing happen to me, but it was for jury duty. No, but that guy has really good, like, civil responsibility. Maybe he's just a raging alcoholic.
You know, they had Obama go in for recently this week. He went in for a jury duty.
Did he actually go?
He went, but then they excused him.
Of course they did.
Yeah. That's one good thing about being the former president.
Yeah.
Not to do jury duty.
Well, probably the fact that everyone knew he had it, he had to at least show up.
Yeah.
I had a lawyer tell me if you just throw the thing away, they can't prove it didn't get lost in the mail.
Yeah.
Like, they can't if you don't respond to it, they can't prove that you never got it.
It's not coming certified mail, so.
Correct.
It's not they can say you know.
Wow, I didn't think about that. I just had to show up, and then you have to kind of, like, talk your way out of it. And they're like, you're not getting out of it. The, what do you call it? The bailiffs there, they're like, you're not getting out of it, and you have to talk to the judge, and then you have to go up and then explain to the judge that you have to work at Baltimore and tell dick jokes in Baltimore that weekend,
right.
And you cannot be a part of this murder trial.
Well, usually when you go to jury duty, they ask you, does anybody have a lot of travel, may have no fear?
No,
they don't in New York, they don't do that, because it's like, it opens the door to a million excuses, so they don't even say that. They're like, I'm like, dude, I have to travel, there's no way I'm making this. They're like, no. There's no way. You have to. It already got deferred once. you're not getting out of it. So go tell the judge. And if the judge wants to release you, then he'll release you. But any of that, does anybody have any? They don't even ask questions like that now because people are angling to get out. So
yeah, a lot of people raise their hand. Well, I can't do it because I got to pick up my kids from school. That's too bad. But I usually, the last couple of times now, they ask me my profession. I don't say financial planner. Yeah. I say I'm a comic.
Yeah.
I'm a stand-up comic. Yeah. No jury wants a stand-up comic.
You could be
comic.
Like, I'm changing my name to Adolf Hitler this weekend, so I can't do it. I can't do it. It's a name change thing.
I got lucky the last couple times they sent it to me because they sent it to my dad's house, which I don't live there anymore. So I was able to say, I don't live here, and I got out of it. Then they sent it to my actual house, and when I went down, first off, you sit in a room all fucking day.
Yeah, it's the worst.
And you can't even leave to go get lunch or whatever. Like, you're just stuck in this goddamn room.
We get a lunch break, and they let us go. You have, like, a little bit of time. But last time I went, I brought my own little meal.
I didn't. They had vending machines, and I didn't bring any cash. But they brought us all in, and just the jury walking in made the guy take a plea deal. So we got to walked into the room and then walked back out.
Wow.
Yeah, here's a story. A thief didn't get far in a motorized grocery store cart. Maybe you get to steal something, steal something of value. A man accused of stealing a motorized shopping cart from an Alaska grocery store.
Alaska?
Didn't get very far, go very far, or very fast before his low-speed getaway attempt was foiled by police. They were chasing him on a scooter.
I thought the Alaska angle was going to be like he couldn't, it wasn't four-wheel drive.
Yeah, that's what I was waiting for. He couldn't get through the snow.
Or he
snow.
Had some husky dogs.
Something.
Trying to pull it.
I thought you were going to bring it around full circle.
The battery-operated cart with a basket mounted behind it, the handlebars, has top speed of 1.9 mile per hour.
Wow.
Much like me in the morning when I go to the bathroom.
Who wants to steal that? And it's got to be like, what, $2,000 or
They're
something?
They're in Alaska. What else,
I mean.
No, but I'm always mystified at the guys who, like, once in a while it'll happen where somebody just steals a fire truck or a cop car. Or something. It's like they know they're not getting away. It's just like they're adrenaline junkies or something. I don't know what the
It's like a bucket
thing is.
List
it's
item.
Like you're stealing a fire truck, dude. No one's going to notice that you stole a fire truck.
Somebody recently stole an ambulance, I think here in Miami. They stole the ambulance and they got caught.
Have you seen the video of the guy that stole a tank?
No.
Dude, he stole a tank and they couldn't stop him.
Yeah.
He was running over like squad cars and stuff in front of him. He would just run them up. He ran over. He went to the police station and just trucked over a bunch of their...
Did that go viral?
I bet that guy could
headline a funny bone anywhere.
Well,
now.
He's dead. He got... How they stopped him is he...
Not comedically.
how they stopped him is he got the tank like caught on like the median of a highway
because
he was just running over cars and shit. There were no ammunition in it. It wasn't loaded.
So now we know how to stop the North Koreans and their tanks.
He got stuck and they like got on top of the tank and like shot him through the window or something.
Oh, that's a little excessive. If the tank wasn't loaded, that's his defense. It's like, Your Honor, everybody relax. The tank wasn't loaded.
Yeah.
You guys are really being fucking...
Authorities say Rondell Tony Chinook of Anchorage is charged with felony theft or attempting to take a cart early on Tuesday from the Safeway store in Fairbanks. Police say they stopped Chinook while he was crossing a thoroughfare. Yeah. Chinook.
Chinook.
He should plead not guilty by reason of Eskimo name. Obviously, I'm sorry. I'm not used to your technology. It's all igloos and seals.
Yeah,
for me.
We don't got internet in my igloo.
He was planning on driving it back the next day for his next purchase.
Oh, man.
It says he was crossing a thoroughfare following a 10-minute joyride that consisted mostly of trying to leave the expansive store parking lot.
Oh, dude!
See, it would surprise me if he wasn't drunk. Like, if that guy's like, was he drunk? Like, no. Actually, he wasn't on any drugs. It's like, wow, that guy just...
They should let him go if he's not.
In Orlando, there's a Publix like right next door to a McDonald's. And now this story makes me want to take one of those motorized carts and try to go through the drive-thru.
And
just get some nuggets.
Well, if you're going to get it, at least get the buttermilk chicken sandwich.
Buttermilk.
Oh, the McRib's back. You can go get the McRib.
Ugh. Listen, I was talking about food. I went to Arby's. Because I never go to Arby's. You ever eat Arby's?
No, stop name dropping.
You don't like Arby's?
I feel like
I don't live around one.
Listen, I feel like you're bragging right now.
Yeah.
Listen, I am bragging because I got to eat
Do you get the venison?
No, I haven't tried, but
there's a venison thing in there?
Yeah.
They did it for like one day, and I forgot, so I didn't get to try it. My brother tried it. He said it was good.
Yeah, well, the most underrated sandwich in Arby's is the chicken cordon bleu. It's an awesome sandwich. Speaking of
that led somewhere. I thought there was a point to that other than this.
Well, dude, I mean, everybody gets fucking Arby's roast beef, but I go there and I get the chicken Gordon Bleu.
Wow. I haven't had Arby's in forever.
The ultimate left turn.
You don't know what you're missing.
we all thought it was leading to something. Like, no, the sandwich is really good. You just got to try.
Just thinking of food, dude.
He's the next guy to steal a food truck.
Polish government asked citizens to multiply like rabbits. The Polish government is encouraging citizens to go forth and multiply like rabbits.
Is that the place that's like encouraging people, like men, to come from other places to marry their women there? Like they'll pay for you to come?
I don't know, but in Poland, the Polish people are going, rabbits don't know how to do math. The Health Ministry of Poland, which has one of the lowest birth rates in Europe, has put out a short video praising rabbits for producing many offspring. The YouTube video shows the rabbits munching on lettuce and carrots while a rabbit narrator reveals the secret of their big families. Exercise, a healthy diet, and little stress. The brief appearance of a human couple enjoying a romantic picnic hints that the little romance might help, and a wine glass turned upside down suggests an anti-alcohol message.
So are they like the one part of the world that's not having population crisis? And they're like, we need to catch up.
Europe is down across the board.
Wow.
Europe is not exploding the way it was. Their population's way down.
Well, that was the big thing about the immigrant, like the Muslim immigrants that are coming in.
That's why they're afraid, because the Muslims are way up and the Europeans are way down.
Yeah, even in this country, we are like 1.5 kids per family unit. Versus
the economy gets worse. Like it gets harder and harder. It's and people get more educated than the.
You think a lot of people don't want to have kids now? You think the newer generations or people don't want to have kids? I meet a lot more people now that don't want to have kids.
Well, yeah, I feel like that's like he says. It's kind of like Idiocracy. The people who are more educated want to wait to have kids until their career, and they might never do it.
Right.
But yet, the people who are undereducated are like, "Let's fuck."
Yeah.
And like, I got to work tomorrow.
The latest step by conservative government in the mostly Catholic country of 38 million.
Wow.
To reverse a shrinking population, European Union figures show that Poland's birth rate was 1.32 children per woman in 2015. Only Portugal had a lower fertility rate. This must be all the olive oil.
We're down to three on the live feed. I don't think Portugal's they liked Arby's.
Oh, my God. We're bombing.
No, we had one before I started talking about Arby's.
Facebook Live. Do you have a news story with like anal beads or
Are you kidding me?
Somebody's vagina exploding.
I got an anal story.
I mean, come on. We need to like pick it up.
Should I put the anal story now?
No, the Polish thing is actually very interesting. It's like they're doing public service announcements to get their people to fuck. It's like give them some days off or something.
Yeah. Just
give them some days off.
Get rid of all the condoms in the
That's
country.
What you should do. Get rid of the condoms. Then the STDs will go
Yeah, then
up.
The STD rate.
And then all that syphilis. Yeah.
Dan if you do.
At least those guys will be able to put a restaurant over there.
Are the women there hideous or something?
No, I don't think so.
Eastern European Polish women are pretty hot.
There's a lot of, like, I know there's like, what's the place that has like, there was a huge Viking population, so all the women are like crazy gorgeous.
Sweden?
Norway? I think it's Norway where they have like all the majority of women look like models, because there was such a long period of time where the population were all Vikings, and they would go to all the surrounding areas and just steal all the most attractive women and bring them back.
Yeah, rape and pillage.
Yeah, and they were just like, all right, well, now we have...
Well, look where that got them.
I mean, clearly it worked.
Now all they have is hot chocolate. Here's a story. Screams of help draw 911 call, but a parrot is the screamer.
Wow.
A delivery man in Oregon who heard a woman scream for help had his wife call 911, but when the deputy showed up, it turned out the screamer was a parrot, not a woman.
Was the parrot just mimicking the owners having sex or something? Like, why would it know how a woman screaming sounds?
Although the parrot had some nice tits. The Oregonian, Oregon Live, reported Tuesday that when Clackamas County Sheriff's Deputy Hayden Sanders showed up, all he found was Diego, the parrot. That was my name in Spanish class in high school, by the way.
I like it that it was an ethnic parrot.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You know, diversity.
Aren't they all?
Is there like a Caucasian type parrot, or weren't most of them like exotic
caw-caw?
Birds?
Yeah.
Aren't they like macaws? Isn't that what they're called or whatever?
Wasn't that the Beretta bird?
Macaws.
Macaws. I knew it was something macaw.
Macaw is the sound a macaw makes. Right. It's macaw. Yeah.
So why was he screaming for help?
The green and yellow bird was in good health and no humans were involved. No one knows why the bird was screaming for help.
Because they mimic sounds they hear, and they could do it. They could do it pretty accurately. There's, you seen that bird that sings like, what is it, like, let the bodies hit the floor, but it can sing the whole song, like vividly, wow. like a radio.
I remember when I was a kid, I really wanted to get a parrot. That was a big thing because they talked and everything.
Right.
But they were like $800.
Oh, yeah, they're expensive.
Well, it depends how lonely you are.
I had three older brothers, so.
Oh, wow.
Never got my parrot. You wanted an anal story.
Yes. I asked for it, and they asked.
So did she.
I asked for it.
Wait a minute. What happened here? Harvard University hosts an anal sex workshop.
Wow.
Hey, listen.
This is
not
going the way I thought. I didn't think that anal story was going to start with Harvard.
Well, listen, if you're going to learn about anal.
I mean.
Yeah.
Could you imagine you're about to have anal sex with a chick and, hey, listen, I know what I'm doing. I learned this in Harvard.
That's great.
You're just going to get a PhD in putting it up the ass? Like, this is what they're.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see.
What is there to know about it, really? It's kind of a one thing to know.
Well, there's a lot involved.
Is there a lot involved?
Well, you got to be, you know, there's.
I would imagine.
There's preparation.
The only thing I know about it is what I read from that, Tucker Max had a story about it. And he used too much lube. And so, they just made a mess. A stinky, gross mess.
Yeah. Oh, well, there goes our Facebook Live listeners.
Nah, come on.
Harvard University hosts anal sex workshop in Cambridge, Mass. A workshop at Harvard University on Tuesday night delved into in and outs of anal sex, no pun intended, with a presenter denouncing the stupidity of abstinence and the joys of putting things in your butt.
Yeah. Open it up.
Well, who's the catcher in the pitcher here?
They should open up a restaurant also.
Yeah. Everybody here, all the cooks here have anal sex while they're preparing the food. The workshop was held as part of an Ivy League University Sex Week, which launched on Monday and runs through November 12th, titled What in the Butt? Anal 101.
What? Wasn't that a, that was a song for a while.
What in the butt?
Wow, Sex Week.
Yeah,
I never had that in my college.
I mean,
we had sex weeks. Everybody goes, you know, we're all, because what else you do in college?
I mean, now it's like, I wouldn't want to be in college now. It's
went to college, right?
Yeah.
When I went to college, my women, like when I graduated high school, yeah, I have so many women you were with. Did you keep count of women you had sex with?
No.
You never did that?
Mm-mm.
Am I considered outdated?
People are like, you don't need to know the number. I'm like, I mean, it's not like I've had sex with a lot of women either. I haven't. But it's just like I stopped. After a while, I was like, all right, I just stopped. And now people like can't believe it. They're like, oh, you haven't? Like, no.
And I lost count at one point.
I had long relationships for long periods of time. I think I was going to need to know the number again. I don't know. I think I just got tired out.
Yeah, because when I went to college my freshman year, it was like the number just, you know, all the girls wanted to get laid in college.
Really?
Your freshman year in college?
Man.
Everybody was all these chicks away from their parents.
I grew up.
The freshman, I mean, I thought it was bad because anytime you're a freshman anywhere, it always sucks because they always want the upperclassmen. They always want those guys. So it's like.
See, I didn't have sex in college. I was a virgin until after college.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I didn't finish college, so I mean, I wasn't that old, but.
Well, you have a problem finishing. That's why you're not having sex.
No, I mean, like I was brought up real Christian.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I was terrified. I was programmed to be terrified of like possibly having a kid or catching a disease. Like,
yeah.
They spent the majority of my childhood telling me all the negatives of sex, which I felt
I was
me.
I was terrified of that too, to be honest.
I was like conditioned to fear it for a while.
I was the opposite. Yeah. I had three older brothers and I was trying to beat I didn't want to be the brother who didn't lose his virginity last.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like one brother lost it at 14, 15, and one at 12.
Wow.
So I had pressure.
What was the teacher's name? That's how it happens here in Florida, doesn't it?
Yeah, he was homeschooled.
Yeah, and his name was Bill. Yeah, so, well, listen, there's things about anal sex you got to know, but it's good that, you know.
I feel like
gentle and slow.
Take your time.
Am I considered antiquated because I have zero interest in pursuing that?
Anal sex?
Like either performing it on a girl or having her stick some shit up my
ass. Performing it really ratchets up the pressure when you frame it that way. to perform it on you.
Yeah, it's like you're a circus
can
act.
Can I just do it to you?
You know what I mean? Like,
well, listen, yeah, I mean, you know.
I mean, maybe I'm missing something great about it, but I don't know.
I don't know. It's like, why climb a mountain? It's there. Why not?
Why delve into a cave?
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I spent so much of my life going after a vagina that's like, it's kind of like the taco place that's right next door to the burger place. It's like, why have a burger when you can have awesome tacos?
Well, you haven't had good anal sex then, dude.
I haven't had any. Well, I've in the midst of sex, I've accidentally pulled out and then gone back in
that's like, you know, that doesn't count. It really doesn't. You got to know what you're doing to know.
The true believers here. Really count. Your accident sex is insulting us right now.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm missing out.
Your accidental anal doesn't count, Adam.
What's the allure?
Christian Mingle.
I'll say this. The thing is always great because the women that say, no, I won't do it. It's the worst. But then when they do it, they're like, wow, they get excited. And they're usually a lot more, you know, vocal when they come orgasm.
So take your forearm off their neck, they seem a lot more vocal then, Dougie. I'm out of this podcast. Shows a felony waiting to happen.
What are you gonna do?
So that's the thing is I didn't think a woman could climax from anal sex.
Oh yeah, they do, big time. Yeah. Last story of the day, a woman arrested at Palm Bay.
Wow,
Police
what a transition.
Just
we really got a time crunch here. It's like, all right, next story.
All right, wow, this woman. We got to move on to this woman from wherever the fuck.
I got to get my commercial times.
We're pulling out of anal sex pretty quickly here.
Yeah, right from that to this. A woman arrested at Palm Bay Police Department for DUI.
Yeah.
Palm Bay, Florida. People who usually get arrested for DUI aren't driving around in the parking lot of the police department. That's what happened to when 36-year-old April Lay Smith drove her car into a restricted parking lot of the police headquarters in Palm Bay. The area of parking is fenced and controlled by gates with signs that state "Do not enter" and "No trespassing."
That's someone that
but it didn't
really
say "No drinking."
Yeah,
no drunk drivers. She didn't have that sign.
She just really wanted to get arrested because she lives in Palm Bay.
The officer saw us. I was actually just drove through there. The officer saw Smith exit her vehicle, appearing confused as to what she was doing. When the officer asked what she was doing, Smith indicated she was looking for a friend.
Yeah.
The officer detected an odor of alcohol beverage when she spoke.
That's the thing. I asked if you ever been there. You're like, yeah, I drove through. It's one of those places everyone drives through, but she has to actually live there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe she was trying to vote. Like the other guy.
Exactly. Hey, well, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
Hold on, we don't have time for another DUI story. We've had like four.
No, only got time for anal.
DUIs and an anal and an Arby's.
Oh, and zits.
And
I feel like this is a bunch of stuff no one wanted to hear, but they three people. Oh, four. Look at that. We gained one.
Yeah.
Someone was like,
one of the people watching, fellow comic Richie Lee, says, "Ever see the video of Mike?
What's up, Richie?
Ever see the video of Mike wrestling his nephew? What a wuss."
Nice.
His nephew's pretty tough, dude. Anyway, that's all I have time for. Don't forget tonight, guys, on Facebook Live, Wise Guys Comedy Show at Tavolino's. I'll be your host along with special guest Nadeem Awad. Adam Murray is your feature, and of course, Michael Vecchione.
You live the whole show?
What?
The show tonight?
Just right now.
Oh, no. Yeah. I thought you were saying you're going to live.
See, if you had more anal sex, dude, you'd be fucking quicker on these things. And that's tonight, by the way. And by the way, Saturday, catch Mike at the Sunrise Theater in Fort Pierce.
Yes.
Great room. I was just there a couple weeks ago. Always a great. It's true that people leave right away. The show's over. They all get
there. They're unbelievable people,
they
though.
Get out of, yeah, great.
I got to say, they're a great crowd.
There's always
time.
A great show. Always a great show. And you can follow our show on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie. Follow me at Dougie Dangerous on Instagram and Twitter. And join our fan page on Facebook at Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Adam?
Yeah, find me on YouTube. It's youtube.com/madman13lm.
I'm already confused. It's too fucking
well,
long.
Fine. Go to my webpage, adammurraylive.com.
There you go. Mike?
At Comic Mike V.
There you go, guys. Thanks for listening. This week, I'm going to be in Gregory's Comedy Club in Cocoa Beach, Thursday through Saturday. Come out if you're in the area. Go right past Palm Bay if you're going to be driving. And other than that, we'll be back next week with all new shows. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys here next week at the same spot. Take care. People on earth, can you hear me?
from the sky on a magical night. And yellow colors of a thousand sunsets, they travel to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one, setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun, children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside, the beam of light hit the ground. Everyone felt the sound of their heartbeat. Every man, every woman, every child. They passed the limits of imagination through the door to the world. Journey of a thousand lifetimes.